You're listening to the Bay Christian Family Church podcast.
Praise God. You see that open your Bible at Matthew chapter 7. This morning we began having a look at the faith of Abraham. As I said this morning, is that when you say the word faith, it's like any word. Any word, if you and I are going to have a conversation, we're going to have to be in agreement on the definition. That's what a dictionary does. It's so that when you and I say a word, we can go to the dictionary and say we're referring to the same thing. If I say blue, I would expect you to imagine the same color that I'm imagining. We'd have a real problem if in your world you call something else blue. Are you with me? And that's very important when it comes to wording, particularly when it comes to the gospel. Because even when we talk about the word of faith, a lot of people have taken that and made it into a movement, a denomination. It's almost, you know, if you word of faith, then you're glad about it. But then you've got this other camp that the moment anyone says something, oh, that's that word of faith, people, like write them off. And that's very dangerous because Paul said this is what we preach, the word of faith. So don't hijack words that are used in the Bible and use it to make something negative out of it. And the word of faith is that faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing. So evidently if it comes, it wasn't there before. And how did it come? By the word. Therefore the word must have brought the faith. So what is, if the word has the faith packaged, what would you call that word? Word of faith. That defines the scripture. And when we say faith, this is what I'm getting to, the word faith, if you say faith, what do you hear? A lot of people that don't know the scriptures, don't know the word, will kind of use faith and the word believe interchangeably. What faith are you? Well, you know, I'm Catholic or I'm Buddhist or I'm a Muslim. No, I didn't say what religion. The word, it can be used in that context, but that's not what we're talking about when we talk about the faith of God. You also have faith as a belief system. But how many of you know the devil believes? The word says, you believe there's a God, you do well. The devil also believes and yet trembles. So the devil believes even though an atheist might not. The devil believes there is a God. Why? He's seen him. Are you with me? And so he's at war with him. But praise God, you and I have overcome that. Jesus overcame him and gave us the same victory. Come on, give Jesus praise. You got that. So the point I'm making is, without faith, it's impossible to please God. The devil believes, but he doesn't please God. So that can't be the same faith. Then there's human faith, which is a trust system. And as I said this morning, if you came in this tonight, no one checked their chair to see if all the screws were in, none of the wood is cracked, you just went and sat down on your chair. Isn't that right? Because you have faith in our maintenance team. But that's not the faith that pleases God, because a total unbeliever could have sat in the chair. God say, wow, he's a believer. No, that's a different type of faith. So what faith are we talking about? The faith that pleases God. So we're taking time in the morning sessions to study that faith out so that we make sure we are secure in that faith. Tonight, I want to talk about activating that faith. Remember I said this morning that there has to be an expectation. Like Paul did write to the church in Galatians. He said, who has bewitched you that you don't obey the word? And then he gets down and says, you began in the spirit, but now you're trying to work the law. And then he said there, how does the miracles work in your midst? Is it by the working of the law? Is it by the hearing of faith? Everybody say hearing of faith. So how many want to see miracles in your life? Well, there is something that has to happen. If someone doesn't believe in miracles, and there are people, they believe the age of miracles was over when the last apostles left. But how many of you know that God is still doing miracles? Like I said already, someone comes to me and says they don't believe miracles happen today. Well, don't worry, it won't jump on you. Because if you're not expecting it, it won't happen. But you're just too late for me. I don't care what you bring me. You can bring me the most, you can take the highest educated person with so many degrees behind their name, they look like a thermometer. It's not about, you know, your education. You can use these big words, and are you really qualified because you didn't go to the school I go to? None of that counts, because I have seen God's power over and over and over. How many of you can testify and say amen? So that's what we're talking about. This activation of miracle power. You want to see miracle power working in your life? Have you found Matthew 7? If you haven't, please give up now. We need to move along. So look at the person next to you. Verse 7. Ask. And it might. It? That's a definite. It will be given to you. If you've got a page Bible with a pen, just circle the letter A in ask. Okay? Seek, and you will find. Seek, and you will find. See the word seek? Circle the letter S. Knock, and it will be open to you. Knock, and it will be open to you. Circle the letter K. For everyone. How many? Everyone put your hand up. Bump your name and say, look at that, I'm in the book. That's you. Everyone who asks does what? Receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. What man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? If you then mean evil. Now you understand, in that context of God, they were not yet born again. Okay? So God's not calling you evil. If you've given your life to Jesus, you're born again. But in the context of God, there's nothing good in me. All good is God. Can you say amen? Amen. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more? What's he saying? You know, these people that say sometimes when someone gets sick or they're struggling, well, that's God just trying to keep the person humble, or God's trying to teach them a lesson. Imagine how many of you got children and you're busy in the house. Next moment, you hear a gut-curdling scream. Your baby screams in the yard. And you can tell that is not a naughty. That's not even a naughty. That's pain screaming. And you stand there busy finishing what you're doing, say, well, I did warn them. I have to first finish what I'm doing. Is that what you do? I don't care if you're meeting with the president, meeting over. Isn't that right? That baby's going to get all the attention at that moment. And when you get to them and you find maybe something's gone wrong, maybe a child broke its arm or whatever, you don't say, did I not tell you don't climb? Did I say don't climb? So now you did. Okay, so I'm going to leave you for about an hour because I want you to experience what it's like to not obey me. And then if I feel better, I might take you to the doctor. Is that what we would do? You will make sure, I don't care how disobedient that child was, let's first fix it before we begin the discipline process. Come on, have you know what I'm saying? So how dare we think We're better fathers than our Heavenly Father. Your Heavenly Father, not some egotistical God creature. He is God, but in God He is Father. And in Father He is love. And if He loves you, He does not want to see you hurting. He does not want to see you struggling and battling. He's not using the devil to try and make us better Christians. He did everything on the cross to destroy what the devil tried to bring against us. Sickness, poverty, lack, disease, destruction, curse, anything. Jesus destroyed on that cross so that God has every right to protect you as His child. Come on, give Him praise if you can get a hold of that. Watch this. Verse 11. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to children, how much more will your Heavenly Father who is in heaven give good things to those who? Ask. Ask. Ask, seek, knock. Are you ready to ask? Not just ask, but ask. Ask, seek, knock. How many got that? Campuses? Everybody say ask. You're one question away from your solution. I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand. How's this happening? You are one question away. Ask. Everybody say, God's waiting for me to ask. I don't know why God's not moving. God, can't you see? He goes, yeah, I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. It's not up to God to move. He's done everything He's going to do on the cross. Everybody say, seek. Have you ever played hide and seek? What do? You're the person that's going to seek. You go stand on the wall or something, a pillow, what tree or whatever. You count, isn't that right? And then what happens? You get to 99, 100. Then you say? And then you stand there. Is that what happens? You want to find the person, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone to go and seek. Seek. And you will find. I'm going to have to say, I'm done with where I am. Some of us have got so comfortable with being poor. Some so comfortable, well, you know, maybe, que sera, sera, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. No. You have a promise from God. I said you have a promise from God. But He's hidden in the mystery. Arise, shine, your light has come. What's arise mean? Get up. Come out of the comfort zone. It's time to go out and go seek. Explore. Hallelujah. Knock. The K. Knock. Someone is trying to keep you away from your solution. There might be a closed door. And every time you go here, there's a closed door. Go over here, there's a closed door. You go over here, there's a closed door. Pastor Dalen, I mean, there was fire all over that. But what you're experiencing is what God set up for this. You're done with standing at the back of the queue. I said, you're done with standing at the back of the queue.
Not that I just, well, if it's God's will, I'm just trusting God. He's God and He will do what He wants to do.
Jesus was very clear. If we want to get something, we're going to have to ASK. Ask, seek, knock. Ask the right question, get out of the comfort zone, and go knock. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 from the Passion Translation. One day, Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop or lose hope. And so he shared with them this illustration. In a certain town, there was a civil judge, a thick-skinned and godless man, who had no fear of others' opinions. There was a poor widow in that town who kept pleading with the judge, "Grant me justice and protect me against my oppressor." He ignored her pleas for quite some time, but she kept asking. She kept asking. She kept knocking. She kept asking. She kept knocking. She kept asking. The judge says, "I'm not interested in your little case," and she asked. "I don't care, I got bigger things to deal with," and she begged. And she asked, and she knocked, and she asked. I'm not here for you, I'm here for the rich guys. She asked, and she knocked. Eventually he said to himself, "This widow keeps annoying me, demanding her rights. I'm tired of listening to her. Now, even though I'm not a religious man, I don't care about the opinion of others, I'll just get her off my back by answering her claims for justice, and I'll rule in her favor, then she'll leave me alone." So the Lord continued, "Did you hear what the ungodly judge said? That he would answer her persistent request. Don't you know that God, the true judge, will grant justice to all of his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day?" Everybody say favor. "He will pour out his spirit upon them. He will not delay to answer you and give you what you ask for. God will give swift justice to those who don't give up. So be ever praying, ever expecting, just like the widow was with this judge. Yet when the Son of Man comes back, will he find this kind of persistent faithfulness in his people?" Jesus said, if you want to get something out of this kingdom, it's going to take persistent faith. But will anybody really get it? It amazes me. When Apostle Theo taught on how he received something by faith, he's going to give us instruction. How many of you were here for his session? And he said, write this down. But he said, I wonder how many Christians will actually do it. That's the thing. We have the tools that God gives us. Are we going to do them? See, the New King James says at verse 8, "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth?" See, a lot of people will say they believe in Jesus, but that's not the faith he's talking about. Will he find people that believe God is, believe he is a rewarder, and are persistent in making sure if God set it up, I'm going to have that in my life? When the Word says God prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, there are no enemies in heaven. So the table's not for when you get to heaven one day. It's for the planet now while you're living here. So when I see enemies in my life, I don't panic. I go start looking. Are you an enemy? Yes. Are you an enemy? Yes. There's a table somewhere. Something is prepared for me. There's got to be something good here. God prepares a table in the midst of my enemies. Ask David when he saw Goliath. Everybody else was hiding and shaking and nervous and scared and afraid and in total fear. He walks up and says, "Who's this uncircumcised Philistine?" And they say, "Yeah, but you're just a little shepherd boy. Shh. We know the naughtiness of your heart." The naughtiness of his heart? He says, "What does the man get that takes him down?" He knew there's a table. Yeah, that's an enemy. He wrote that psalm. There's an enemy. Yeah, is that an enemy? Yeah. What's the table? What? See, he's asking. He's asking, "What does the man get?" Well, you're going to pay all your taxes. All your taxes settled. That sounds like financial breakthrough. How many of you wouldn't mind never paying the receiver again? I mean, there you, some of us, our salary just doubled. Isn't that right? And then you get the king's daughter as wife. Yeah, let me at him. I can do that. Are you with me? Why? Because he asked the right question. And what did he do? He immediately got out there, and I mean, he went looking. He said, "You ready?" And he got those 5 stones, and he went running at that giant. He ran at his enemy. He ran at his enemy. He ran at his enemy. And then he knocked him. clean put him down on the ground. Come on. You getting a hold of this? He didn't stand back hoping God will deliver him. God took what he did in the natural, and then once he acted on his covenant, the supernatural went on top of that, and he was delivered that day and delivered all of Israel. Come on, give Jesus praise if you can see that. That's the faith that God's looking for, that believes if God said it, we're going to act on it. No more sitting back, "I wonder if God's going to answer this." No, go for it. And the Amplified says, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth?" That's the context. It's not just shoot once or twice and, "Oh, well, I tried." No, if God said it, I'm going to keep going at it. God's given an answer. Say amen. Come down to verse 35. Then it happened as Jesus was coming near Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked, make sure you have the right question. He asked what it meant. And so they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." So he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who went before warned him, "Be quiet." So he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Be quiet. "Son of David, hey, listen, the guy, Son of David." He's not interested. He's just going past. "Son of David." He's been busy all day. He wants to go rest. "Son of David. Son of David." "Son of David." So Jesus stood still. You want to get Jesus' attention. He's walking past everybody. I'm sure that whole road had a bunch of needs. There were people with all kinds of needs. "Jesus, he looks like he's in a hurry. I'm going to bother the man now." "Not this man. You mean Jesus is here?" And he starts calling. And he gets Jesus' attention. "Bring the man to me." And when he had come near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Say, what? I mean, there's the man standing. It's kind of obvious he's blind. And Jesus says, what do you want? Now, the guy could have said, can I just have a glass of water? See, Jesus wants to know, have you got the right question? It's his system. He has set it up. God's not assuming that he knows what you want. He said, you ask and you receive. Persistent. Knock, knock, knock. That was his door that day. Everybody was in his way. Everybody, all the religious people, the people who thought they knew better, they were speaking on behalf of Jesus, trying to protect Jesus. They were the door stopping him getting to where he needs to be, but he didn't stop knocking. What's your question? Lord, that I may receive my sight. Lord, that I may see. Verse 42, Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Now listen to this. Your faith has made you well. What's his faith? A-S-K. He asked the right question. He made sure, even though he couldn't see with his physical eyes, he sought. He made sure that he could seek Jesus and get into his presence. And he kept knocking until that door was open. Jesus said, that persistence. Now watch what happens. And immediately, verse 43, he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Hallelujah. Come on, give Jesus praise. And then I'm going to put in brackets there. This is Alan Bag. And some wished they had asked. Come on. The miracle's standing right there. But this man knew how to access it. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. She'd suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she, what happens when you hear? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by? This is the living word in flesh. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said. Now, often when you read the scriptures, you'll see they'll give the outcome and then say what led up to it. So you can almost put them in front. Are you with me? So this, we now see the outcome. She came and said, I'll touch him. But this is what she had said before putting that into action. She said, say she said. Spirit of faith is having believed, I speak. What do we speak? Out of the abundance of our heart. Ask the right questions. She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of the blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Who had done this thing? Who had? Well, what thing just happened? The blood stopped flowing. She drew on the anointing, the blood stopped. Who had done? Who did that? She did. And The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him, told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." Notice again, your faith. Your faith. Your faith. Now, what I want you to see in context of what we're talking about here is the first thing we know from Jewish law is that if a woman has a flow of blood, she's not permitted in public. If she is, it could, under Jewish law, she could be stoned to death. Now, Jairus was a Jewish leader, and he's right there with Jesus, asking for his daughter to be healed. So he could have, so there you got a Jewish leader standing next to Jesus, but she sees Jesus, and that's more important to her than what other people are going to say. There's a door there. There's a door. That could have put fear in her heart. There's someone standing right next to Jesus, not even like he's in the crowd somewhere. He's right there. And if she's exposed before she gets to him, he has a right to call on that judgment. That's the door. But she says she has heard that this man, Jesus, that whoever gets to him, she's heard, he's healed the blind man, he's done all these things, deaf hear, the mute speak. This Jesus, he is the miracle worker. But all I need to do is get to him. So not only is Jairus standing there, now there's this whole crowd. Now the Bible says that she has been like this way for 12 years, tried every physician possible. You know she's in a very weakened state. Yeah. Now, how do you push through a crowd? The Bible, they said the crowds are thronging you. So you have to get through the crowd. You have to push the next one. There's another door. You have to get through that door. There's another door. You got to get through that door. And at any moment, someone could stop and say, "What are you doing here?" But she knew, "I'm going." And she's knocking through every door. She's knocking through every single door. "I'm going to get to him. I don't care what it takes." And she gets there, and she doesn't even ask for permission. Yeah. She just asks. Amen. Just take. Yeah. That's it. I got it. And she probably turned around and thought, "I'm out of here." Yeah. And Jesus stops. "What? Who touched me?" No. Busted. I can just imagine at that moment. But he had such compassion in his eyes, such love. What happened? And she tells him the whole story. And he says something very interesting. "Your faith. Your faith." The blind Bartimaeus, "Your faith." Are you getting this? Now, I know some people say Jesus didn't always do it based on people's faith. Sometimes he just healed people. That's true. He has a right to do that. But I'm teaching on the concept of that, where if you trust in God for something, he has given us permission in his word. He's taught us how faith works. He's given us, "Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock, it will be open to you." Why? Because you have a loving heavenly Father. But you notice, he's waiting on us. But he does give his word. If you go for it and you stay persistent and don't give up, you may have to knock through more than one door, because there is an enemy that's trying to stop you from getting to your solution. But you ask the right question and get up out of that comfort zone. "I'm not staying back here anymore. This is done. I'm done with 12 years. It is over today. Today I'm getting my hearing." And she had to get out of that comfort zone and push through. That blind Bartimaeus had to risk being mocked and ridiculed. He had to keep crying out, even when society norms are telling him to be quiet. But it's people that don't give up. I don't care what people think. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm not here to try and gain favor with anyone. I don't need to position with man. You are not my promotion. You are not going to give me. Let no man say he made Abraham rich. I may work in this company, but you're not deciding if I'm promoted or not. And if it means knocking out the door and maybe moving someone out of their office, the one standing in the way, I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to stay persistent, but not today. I'll knock again, but not today. I'll knock again, but not today. I'll knock again. And if you make that decision, I know what God has said. You don't stop knocking till that door is open. Come on, give Jesus praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If I had to tell you how many times, people sometimes look at our lives and they hear me tell a testimony and I tell it in like 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. You know, wow, that was easy, hey? I didn't tell you, it took years sometimes. Getting this building, how many times they told us, you're not getting it. I had the guy look at me. I said, this is God's building. He says, well, we got the title deed. Listen to what I'm saying. This is God's building. But we have to keep going. We have to keep going. Even when it looked like it wasn't working. Went the other way. It was given to a nightclub. So there were people in the congregation. So now, Pastor? We're not done. I said, we're not done. God spoke. So I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep knock that door down. Hallelujah. Heavenly God, it's that persistent faith. It's saying, I know what God has told me. So decide, what's your question? And ask it. You build that question on the Word. You get the Word on the issue. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name. In other words, the Word covers that situation. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you that your joy be full. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it that the Father be glorified. If you believe with your heart, those things you say will come to pass. Ask whatever you want and it will be given to you. Three scriptures saying, you ask, you ask, you ask, and it will be given. Don't be confused about it anymore. Ask the right question. And then get up and start to move. Act. Get out of the comfort zone. Do something that you haven't done before in the direction of that answer. And you come up against the door, knock it down. Another door, knock it down. Another door, knock it down. Knock, 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 knock. A-S-K. Until you see the manifestation. Come on, give Jesus praise for His Word. Let's stand together. Am you ready for miraculous power to work in your life? I don't know what your question is that you need to determine. But build it on the Word. Amen. And then start to move. Lift your hand and say, Father, today I've heard that word, your word. I believe you're a good father. And you did say that whatever I ask for, in your name, Jesus, I will have it. That faith comes by hearing your word. Once I've seen your promise and I've heard of your goodness, I hear that everything you've done, everything you say, you are true to. You answer prayer. I believe that. And so I thank you. I have my answer. I have my solution. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. Nothing will stop me. And I'll keep pushing. I'll keep pressing in. I'll keep knocking. And I thank you as I move out of my comfort zone. Nothing will turn me back. No man, no circumstance, will embarrass me when I'm standing in faith for what you've promised me. I receive it. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God.